This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In North Dakota, over 1,000 people representing more than 100 tribes are gathered along the Cannonball River by the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation to resist the construction of the $3.8 billion Dakota Access Pipeline. It's been described as the largest unification of Native American tribes in decades. Well, this past weekend, on September 3rd, Labor Day weekend, the Dakota Access Pipeline Company attacked Native Americans with dogs and pepper spray as they resisted the construction of the $3.8 billion pipeline on a sacred tribal burial site. Also Saturday was the first day of a two-week call for actions against the financial institutions that are bankrolling the Dakota Access Pipeline project. A new investigation has revealed more than 24 major banks and financial institutions are helping finance the DAPL, the Dakota Access Pipeline. The investigation was published by the research outlet Little Sis. It details how Bank of America, HSBC, UBS, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan Chase, and other financial institutions have combined extended a $3.75 billion credit line to Energy Transfer Partners, the parent company of Dakota Access. For more, we're joined by the author of this investigation, Hugh McMillan, a senior researcher with Food and Water Watch. Hugh, welcome to Democracy Now! This is part two of our conversation. Tell us what's most important to understand about the structure of the Dakota Access Pipeline Company.
Dakota Access LLC is a joint venture of Phillips 66 and a joint venture of two members of the Energy Transfer family, Energy Transfer Partners and Sunoco Logistics. Enbridge and Marathon Oil have bought into this joint venture. Together, they now have about a 37% stake in the pipeline, in the Dakota Access Pipeline.
How are the banks involved?
Well, that's they're banking on this company, and banking on being able to drill and frack for the oil to send through the pipeline over the coming decades. So they're providing the capital for the construction of this pipeline.
And explain what the banks are. Which banks are they, and how are they involved?
Well, I've got a list of the 17 banks that are specifically providing financing for this project. And it's also coupled together with an energy transfer partner project to convert an existing pipeline that would connect to the south end of the Dakota Access Pipeline and run oil all the way down to the Gulf Coast, where there are refineries and also export infrastructure.
Can you tell us that list of 17 banks?
I can. Citibank is the bank that's been running the books on the project, and that's the bank that beat the bushes and got other banks to join in. So we have Wells Fargo, BNP Paribas, SunTrust, Royal Bank of Scotland, Bank of Tokyo, Mitsubishi, Mizuho Bank, TD Securities, ABN AMRO Capital, DNB First Bank, and that's actually a bank based in Philly. It's not the DNB bank based in Norway, which has actually provided several hundred million to the Energy Transfer family separately, and ICBC London, SMBC Nikko Securities, and Societe Generale.
Now, it's Citibank, is that right, that's running the books, as the report points out, for Energy Transfers and Sunoco Logistics, which own the Dakota Access Pipeline?
That's right. By and large, so they have the largest share, and they've spearheaded the effort. So what we published in Little Sis was The 30-plus banks that have provided general financing for Sunoco Logistics and Energy Transfer Partners through working with Rainforest Action Network, we're able to has access to Bloomberg Terminal. We were able to determine the 17 banks that I just listed. Who are providing the direct financing for the Dakota Access project. And in addition, for the Energy Transfer Partners project to extend this pipeline on down to Texas. So collectively, this pipeline would run from near the Canadian border on down to the Gulf Coast of Texas, over 1,800 miles.
I was just talking to an oil trucker in the plane back from North Dakota. And he trucks from the Bakken fields to other areas of North Dakota, just locally. And he said it is stunning to see the drop in demand for oil just in this past year. He's been trucking for 4 years. Mm-hmm. What about this decline in demand and what this will mean?
If you ask Morgan Stanley, they said a year ago that the oil producers are getting into prison shape, and without irony. So this is a long term. These are long term investments from the banks. They fully expect the United States to maximize its production of oil and gas through widespread fracking.
What do you mean, prison shape?
I have a note here. They explain that some prisoners, and I quote, contrive clever equipment and workouts that result in fitness levels that surpass the traditional gym shape. And so they're speaking in, they're drawing an analogy to prisoners getting in good shape, drawing an analogy from that to oil and gas companies, fracking companies, learning how to do things more cheaply and more efficiently.
So, Hugh McMillan, as we wrap up, what do you think is most important for people to understand about the corporate structure of the company Dakota Access Pipeline that is building the Dakota Access Pipeline?
I think it's important to see the forces behind this particular pipeline as the same forces behind numerous other pipelines across the country, both to support fracking for tight oil as well as fracking for shale gas, all toward maximizing production of oil and gas when the science is clear that we need to maximize what we keep in the ground. Our current policy has not made that switch. If you look at the Department of Energy's Quadrennial Technology Review published a year ago, you'll see under clean energy technologies, permeability manipulation is included, along with improved understanding of well integrity and improved understanding of injections and how they're causing earthquakes, such as occurred over the weekend.
In Oklahoma.
The quadrennial, that's right, in Oklahoma. The Quadrennial Technology Review speaks of a future mastery of the subsurface toward maximizing production.
Well, Hugh McMillan, I want to thank you for being with us, senior researcher at Food and Water Watch, author of the recent investigation, Who's Banking on the Dakota Access Pipeline? We will link to that report at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us. Go to part one of our discussion at democracynow.org.